pray for the youngsters as they go out, Lord God, to their lessons. I pray also about the power of the Spirit and the beauty and the life-giving force of your word, Lord. Let them be transformed in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Time for the little ones to go out. So God bless you guys as you go on your way. So awesome to see these little people standing so well behaved, just worshiping God. And it's lovely that we can worship together as different generations. And yeah, we know that the kingdom is advancing when we see new generations coming up in the ways of the Lord. We're going to read today from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 11. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each individually as he wills. And we've just been busy with a series on stewardship and how we see that God gives us gifts, that we can be good stewards of those gifts. But the gifts are not for us. They're actually to be a blessing to other people. And we serve God and we serve others as we use those gifts to touch other people's lives. And we've been looking in the last couple of weeks at these beautiful gifts that we see here in Corinthians. And we see that the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers them. He's the one who governs them. He's the one who chooses how they should be used. And the Bible says that He is the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. And it's so wonderful to be able to submit ourselves, both individually and as a body, to say, Holy Spirit, use us as an orchestra. Use us as a symphony. To bring the beauty of God's grace. Thanks, Christy. And Christine plays the piano in a singing group, so she knows what I'm talking about. I was just looking at that scripture this morning. It's not in my sermon, where Jesus says, "It's to your advantage that I go away. It's to your good. It's a fantastic thing that I go away, so that I can send the Holy Spirit to indwell you and to empower you." We were looking last week at just this beautiful part, verse 7. It says, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is something that involves the whole body. It's not something that any one of us can do by themselves as some super anointed, hero of the faith. This is a body thing, that each one is given something of the kaleidoscope, of a different instrument in the orchestra. And a different part to sing, maybe in the choir. But it says there, for the common good. And that word we looked at, it actually means an accumulation. It means a bringing together of a contribution, a combined contribution. And that's what happens when all the gifts start to operate in the church. The whole is just so much more glorious and so much more beautiful than the different parts put together. And last week we were looking at the gift of prophecy and of tongues and interpretation. And this week we're going to look, there's a whole chapter in the book of Corinthians on how to minister with these gifts. And we were seeing last week how beautiful they are. We saw in chapter 14, verse 1, where Paul said, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And he says, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the whole church may be built up. And we were looking last week at some testimonies of just the power and the beauty of people speaking under the unction of the Holy Spirit and speaking God's heart to people, God's encouragement, God's blessing. And there's a great positivity around these gifts. Paul says, go after them, eagerly desire them, be zealous for them. And especially that you may prophesy, because there's such a power in the prophetic word. Now, we know that 99% of what God wants to speak to us, He's given to us in the Bible. 99% of his instructions are there, just in black and white for us to read. The Holy Spirit mentors us from the scripture. But sometimes there are specific things that God wants to say, specific details that are unique to an individual or maybe to a local church that God wants to add to that 99% of guidance that's from his word. And we saw that. I just want to recap that one scripture, 1 Timothy 1:18 to 19. And it says, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance to the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage war, holding faith and a good conscience. And isn't that beautiful? There, Timothy got a specific word. He got a personal prophecy that would be an encouragement to him, that would give guidance to his ministry, and that when he faced the opposition of the enemy, he'd be able to wage war with it. He'd be reminded of the fact that of what God told him to do. He'd know, God's backing me on this. And he was able to fight the good fight because of the encouragement of that prophecy over his life. Just another example of that, when we were coming to New Zealand and God had spoken to us, I'd come across, God had spoken to us about coming as a family, and then the doors didn't seem to open, and we were vacillating. We were saying, God, you know, is this really your will or whatever? And in the church that we were in, there's one guy who's very, very prophetic, really hears God well, and he said to me, Bruce, I'm not normally this straightforward, but he's saying, you are meant to go to New Zealand. I really believe the Lord is saying you need to go to New Zealand. And he said, you've got a narrow window and you need to get over there and you need to find it. You need to go and knock on some doors because it's there, but you need to go. And we trusted God, and I came to New Zealand again. And during that time, because I was here, the doors opened for us to be able to come. And my friend was right, because we came and I got a position, and we came and I got my residence visa. 3 months later, I would have turned 56 and I would have been too old to be able to get in. So if I dallied around for another 3 months, I would have missed the opportunity. But God, it changed me. He said, through my friend speaking by the Holy Spirit, get over there and find it. And you haven't got a lot of time. So it's so beautiful when there's a word of encouragement. That specific, I couldn't find that in the Bible. But God is alive. And God speaks to us specifically, just like a father would instruct and help his child. And that's the beauty of this, that he can speak through us like that. And he often uses other people like that. The trouble with this is it can also be misused. And when someone says, I'm always a little bit cautious if someone says, thus says the Lord, this is the word of the Lord. There's not really a sort of humility about that. If someone says, I believe the Lord is saying, then you go, okay, this person. If someone says, thus says the Lord, the word of the Lord, you're putting a huge authority onto that thing. And we have to be so careful about that, because if we have got it wrong, it can be very, very damaging. There's an example of someone who, they found this lady sitting in an empty auditorium hours after the meeting ended, and someone came up and said, what are you doing here? And she said, no, I got a prophetic word that I was going to meet my partner in this meeting, and so I don't want to go home because it hasn't happened yet. And so obviously that was very irresponsible to prophesy something like that, or maybe they even misinterpreted what was said. But it's something we've got to be careful with. There would be a temptation to say, whoa, this stuff is too dangerous. Let's just steer away from this. Let's just avoid it altogether so we don't have disasters like that happening. But if we were to do that, we wouldn't then be being obedient to what the scripture says about how we should eagerly desire to prophesy and how we should pursue these gifts. We couldn't be obedient to that if we just said, oh, no, this is dangerous territory. Let's write it all. What we've got to do is trust that God has got it. And the beautiful thing is God has got it. And that's why he's given us almost the whole of Corinthians 14 to give us guidelines of how to operate in these things safely, so that there can be checks and balances, and there can be caution, and there can be wisdom. And there's some very clear guidelines. They're almost like guide rules. Guide rails that keep us in line. And not going up into the flaky. So 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8 says this, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. And when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now I see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. This is a beautiful passage, and it speaks into the operation of the gifts. What we know is that Jesus, when he left, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you without a leadership and guidance and someone to mentor you. He said, when I go, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he will remind you of everything I taught you. He will teach you of things that I haven't taught you yet. And that's the beauty of what this is. Jesus said, when I go, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and he will give you gifts of knowledge, wisdom, prophecy. He'll speak to you and he'll speak through you while I'm with the Father. But Paul says, the time is coming when we will be there with Jesus. We'll be face to face with Jesus. And he said, then you won't need these gifts. I won't need Jono to come and say, hey, Bruce, I feel like the Lord's saying this. Because I'll be face to face with Jesus. And that's what Paul is saying. The time is coming when now I know in part, then I will know fully. Now I see Jesus as through a glass darkly. Even when we read the scripture, we don't see him face to face, but the time will come when we see him face to face and we'll know him even as he knows us. Isn't that beautiful? But until that time, we have the Holy Spirit speaking to us and we have the gifts operating. But there's a lovely passage, a lovely thing in here. Paul says, you prophesy in part. And when we prophesy, we recognize that it is in part. And the word there means a share or a portion. And what we have to understand about the prophecy that's talked about in Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, it's not the prophecy that we got the scripture through. That was infallible. When the prophets prophesied Isaiah or Jeremiah, that was the infallible word of God. The New Testament books, that's infallible. That's not in part. That was absolutely perfect. But when we prophesy, it is in part. It's not going to be absolutely 100% perfect or accurate. Doesn't mean God can't speak through it, but we have to come humbly to this gift and go, we've got to recognize that it's not going to be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. And that's beautiful because it gives us grace to learn. Because when it comes to hearing the Holy Spirit and speaking encouragement, it's something that we learn because we're learning to hear God. And this gives us a safe place to go, Lord, we can actually workshop this gift. And you'll see if the right guardrails are in place and the right feedback is in place, it's something where we can safely go, I feel like the Lord is saying, especially if it's new to us, we go, I'm getting this picture and I feel like the Lord is saying, can I submit it to you? What do you think? What does everybody think? If everybody goes, well, I'm actually running ahead of myself. But we prophesy in part, so it's something that we can grow and learn in. And then beautiful, I just want to go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, and it says this, so my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. And here we start to see those guide rails. Okay, so there's two things happening here. The first one is, everything should be done. Paul doesn't go, no, this stuff's too dangerous, don't do it. Just steer clear of it, it'll be much safer. And it would be much safer. You'd never have a misuse of the gifts if you never use them. But you'd also have no blessing flowing to the church. You wouldn't have that life, that blessing that these scriptures are talking about. So all things should be done, but they must be done decently and in order. So there's constraints to how those things are done. And we must give freedom to the practice of the gifts and in fact encourage it. But at the same time, it must be done in an orderly way and a decent way. And the word there for order is taxis. We get the English word taxonomy from it, where each living creature is put in its place. It's ordered into its place. And that's what it means to order every one of the gifts can operate at the right time, in the right place, in the right sequence. There is an order to it. In other words, it's not a free-for-all. that's out of control. That ties in with what we see in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 30. It says, if a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Again, we see the beautiful fruitfulness of these gifts operating. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And there's a beautiful truth again. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. The Holy Spirit will never come upon a person and they're going to just blurt out and they can't control it. I've got to say this. The Holy Spirit's speaking to me and I've got to say this. No, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. So you can go, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He'll never force himself. He'll never take control of your mouth to have his say. He always works in partnership. He always honors human free will. So that's why there can be order. And it's beautiful. The other thing, though, is very scary, is that we can actually quench him. The Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord might go, Bruce, I want to speak through you. And I go, no, Lord, it's too scary. I might be embarrassed. I might get it wrong. What are people going to think? No way. And then I would actually quench him. He'd be wanting to give me a gift that could be an incredible blessing, could change someone's whole outlook and positivity and faith for a venture, could add to what God has already said to them when the enemy's fighting there to try and stop them doing that thing. And I can actually quench the Spirit and go, no, Lord. And the Holy Spirit won't go, do it. He's a gentleman. It's beautiful. But then, yeah, it's so beautiful. So, but what a challenge to go, Lord, help me to be listening and obedient to what you want to say.
Amen.
So with the Spirit, the operation of the Spirit is never this disorderly, crazy thing. It can all take place in its taxis, in its right place. Doesn't mean that just because it's not going to be mayhem, but it also doesn't mean we're always going to be comfortable with what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Sometimes our flesh goes, not so sure about that. There is times when our flesh is not comfortable with the supernatural. But we must never bring the Holy Spirit down to the level of our comfort zone. We must be open to what he wants to say. But with all the checks and balances that we're going to look at. Now, this is quite technical stuff today. But we've been building up to it, and I just think it's important that we cover it, and it's exciting. So we need to encourage the use of these things, but in a safe place. When you're on the road, there's a safe road has got road rules, and it keeps you on the straight and narrow. It keeps you from going into the wrong lane, into the oncoming lane. And the thing is, when it comes to driving, we're not always very good drivers. And when it comes to these things, there's two ditches on either side of the road. And what happens is people tend to fall into the trap of veering into one of those ditches, either on this side or that side. And the one side, the one wrong thing is to go, this stuff is too crazy, it's too scary, it's too dangerous, we're not going to do it at all. And there's quite a lot of churches that veer into that. And it's completely safe, nothing goes wrong. But nothing happens with these beautiful supernatural gifts. Then the other thing to do is to go, hey, this is fantastic. Let's just free for all. Let's just let everybody say what they feel, when they feel, whatever, and just go into this sort of crazy stuff that a lot of us, we might have seen it on TV, we might have been in meetings when there's just that absolute crazy on the other side. And the beautiful thing is, though, we can find the road in the middle where these gifts are able to operate, but they're not crashing, not just crazy, they're all according to the rules. There needs to be restraint and accountability. C.S. Lewis said this, he, the devil, always sends errors into the world in pairs of opposites. He relies on your extra dislike for the one to draw you gradually into the other one. But do not be fooled. We have to keep our eye on the goal and go straight through between both errors. We have no other concern than with either of them. So that's the road we've got to find when it comes to the gifts. Not crashing into the not on my watch, and or not crashing into just the crazy fringe where anything goes. We want to find that beautiful thing within God's guard rails. If we go to Thessalonians 5 verse 19, we'll see this is echoed here as well. Again, it says here, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. So there's on the one side, don't despise the stuff. Don't diminish it. Don't shut it down. Don't put the fire of the spirit out when it comes to these things. But on the other hand, test everything. You've got to be on your alert. You've got to be careful. You've got to be watchful about what has been said, just in a very gentle and gracious way. We need to fan into flame the gift, but we need to keep it within the fireplace so that it doesn't burn out of control. And that word there, despise, means to esteem least, to set at naught. That's to take the words of prophecy, encouragement, the gifts of the Spirit, and say, no, they count for nothing. The Holy Spirit says, don't do that. But it does say test everything. And that means to check to see if it's genuine or approved. And then if it is, then it means, the Bible says, hold on to that. Take it for your own. And that's what I did with that prophecy about New Zealand. I said, okay, Lord, you've said it, you've spoken to me, you've confirmed it through different pictures and words, and now you've spoken through Craig, and you say, I've got to go over and get it. I'm going to trust you. I've got no resources, I've got no connections, but I'm going to go and I'm going to lay hold of it because I believe you've spoken. And it's been confirmed and confirmed and confirmed. And that's when it starts to be exciting. So here I am in New Zealand. 8 years ago, I would never have dreamed of being here, but God speaks, and it's been an amazing adventure. So let's look at this weighing. What does it mean to weigh? What does it mean to test everything that is spoken? We've got to weigh against something, and the first thing is the Word of God. And I'm not going to go into much detail about this because this is pretty obvious. The Holy Spirit is never going to say something that contradicts the Word of God. He inspired the writing of God's Word. He speaks. He always exalts Jesus. He always speaks. He always teaches us what Jesus taught. It'll never contradict the Word of God. So if a word comes and it contradicts, if you don't find it in Scripture, or if it's contradicted by Scripture, you know flat out it's not from the Holy Spirit. And you can reject it. The next thing is love. And Corinthians 13 verse 1 says this, if I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. We know what it goes on to say about love. It's not rude, it's not proud, it's not boastful, it's gentle, it's kind. And what is true of everything we do as Christians, they need to be governed by love. And not just our own love, but the Lord's love, the agape love of the Lord. And this is particularly so of the gifts. If the gifts are being operated in a way that isn't loving, then it's a way to weigh them that they're not being operated properly. If we are praying for the sick in a way that doesn't honor that person, that causes them to just feel just disrespected and uncomfortable, that the Holy Spirit wants that to be done in love. If we bring in a word, it needs to be done with gentleness and kindness, and it's never condemnatory. Love must always be the governing thing. And if someone says, I've had people send emails with thus saith the Lord, and I've looked at it, and in one particular case, I was actually, you know what, this is not necessarily even wrong, what they're saying. But the way it was being said, when I looked at that, I was like, that's not how Jesus speaks to me. That's not how my loving Father talks. There's not love. There's something else mixed in here. There's something else, maybe of their anger about something, or there's something else mixed in. There might be some truth in this, but there's other stuff mixed in here. God doesn't talk like that. This is not loving. This is not redemptive. And we need to, that's how we can also weigh, not let ourselves get upset by things like that. If it's rude or irritable, it's not representing God. And tying in with that, it will always be encouraging. And this is so important. It says in Colossians 4 verse 6, it says, let your speech always be gracious and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Christians, our speech should always be gracious. It shouldn't be this harsh, protesting, condemning, ugly. You can tell by the tone. Here's the instructions for all Christian speech. Seasoned by grace. Jesus didn't raise his voice. He didn't quench the burning wick. He didn't break the bruised reed. He's not that strident. He spoke the truth. He spoke the truth, unadulterated truth. And sometimes it was pretty straight, and sometimes it was pretty challenging. But it always had that look of love. It always had that graciousness about it. It always had that redeeming quality. And if a prophecy comes, and it's got a harsh, judgmental thing, it's a good way to weigh that it's not the Holy Spirit speaking, or that some other kind of contamination has come into the message. And that's so true of New Testament prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3 says this, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. There's three concepts there. Edify, which means it builds up. Exhort, which means it stirs up. That can be the challenging part. And it comforts, which means it cheers up. And that's what New Testament prophecy is. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It never condemns or discourages or leaves you without hope for redemption. And then the next thing that we use to weigh is the witness of the body. 1 Corinthians 14:29 says this, let two or three prophets speak, and let others weigh what is being said. And that's others includes the whole priesthood of all the believers. The others weigh. And if a word is brought in church, it's the responsibility of every single person to weigh what is being said. Each one of us has the Holy Spirit. Each one of us has the Word of God. Each one of us has an ability to hear from God. And we can weigh. Each one of us weighs. That's true of every sermon you listen to. That's true of any word that has come or spoken or gift, a word of knowledge, whatever. You have the right to go, I wonder, Lord, show me, give me, help me. I want to weigh that, decide whether I want to hold on to it and receive it. And there's a passage, beautiful passage in Proverbs that says, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in the abundance of counselors, there is safety. And that's why it's so beautiful to have words submitted within a body. We have an environment within a body where we can learn, get feedback from one another, so that we have, in the council of many, we are not misled. And you have these cults where the one guy with all the power and all the authority says, I've heard from God. Jesus is coming back. We've got to go up onto that hill and we've all got to commit suicide. There's not that. All listening, all hearing from God. Majority of people in the Holy Spirit would go, you wacko. Go off by yourself. The people get caught up in that. And the trouble is, when you have it with prophecy, you often have a lone ranger syndrome. And the people who go, I'm the prophet of the Lord, they've realized they've got the gift of prophecy operating, but they go, oh, now I'm a prophet. And they see themselves as an Old Testament prophet, which was often a single individual speaking the judgment of God under the Old Covenant against the nation that was being disobedient to the law. That is not a New Testament prophet. A New Testament prophet is part of a body. A New Testament prophet is operating out of love and out of grace, backed by the gospel of grace. And so, obviously, his words are going to respect that. If someone sees themselves as the solitary prophet that doesn't take feedback, they become a loose cannon. And they might be able to hear God, but they actually can end up doing more damage because there's not those guide rails of love, of the body weighing, of weighing against Scripture, and they can get really out of line. Paul was dealing with this here in chapter 14, verse 37. It says, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he will not be recognized. And what Paul's saying is, if he's looking at this and he's going, someone comes and says, "Oh no, but I'm a prophet, listen to me." Paul's saying, "I just want to remind you that these things are the Lord's command. You need to be willing to take feedback." And I've had that often as a pastor, someone coming and saying, "Oh, I believe I'm a prophet, and the Lord is saying this." And I'm saying, "Well, can I give you this feedback?" "No, this is a word from the Lord. I'm a prophet." And that's that Paul's saying, if you say you're a prophet, you've actually got to submit yourself to these guidelines, because they protect the body of Christ. The beautiful thing is, when a person submits and receives feedback, they can grow. So when prophecy is being brought and these things are in place, there are so many blessings. Someone has a word they believe is from the Lord, and they come and they say, "I believe this word is from the Lord. I believe the Lord is saying that." When the person floods with tears and they go, "I can't believe it." Like we heard from Hannes last week when he said, when he was facing a mountain, he was saying, and the guy phoned him and said, "You're facing mountains." He just started to cry. He knew this was the Lord speaking, because he knew that guy didn't know that he was facing mountains. And what happens is, the person who's receiving the word is blessed and encouraged. When they give the feedback and they say, "Oh my gosh, you were spot on," the person who brings the prophecy is encouraged, because he's going, "Lord, I'm learning to hear from you." If the person, though, goes, "Oh, but that thing you said there, that doesn't really resonate," maybe you go, "Oh, maybe I was adding a little bit to that. Maybe I was putting my own spin on it. Maybe let me learn to listen more carefully." When Agabus came to Paul, he said, the man who wears this belt is going to be put in prison and beaten and punished. It's in the book of Acts. And then everyone said to Paul, "Oh, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. You're going to be put in jail and punished and whatever." And Paul said, "Stop it, guys. When Jesus called me, he told me he would show me how much I would suffer for him. He told me I would stand before kings. He told me I'd be in prison. When I'm going to Jerusalem, when this prophecy is confirming what he said would happen, it's part of my calling. Don't go adding this, don't go, don't go." That's you in your flesh. That's the prophecy is, the prophecy's right, but don't add to it. And so if someone goes, "Oh, I'm not so sure about that," but then the prophet learns, and the prophet gains, and they learn to become more accurate, and everybody's kept safe. Isn't that beautiful? Does it make sense? Guys, I would encourage you to actually go to this whole chapter. I've had to sort of cherry pick to fit this into one sermon, and I'm almost out of time. But it protects everybody, and everybody's able to grow, and we've got a safe environment in which to learn to hear God and learn to encourage one another. It's beautiful in the home groups, in our conversations, but it's always good to submit. Then finally, another important thing, just as our last point, it's also confirmed by local church leadership. And if we see in Acts 20 verse 28, it says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he ordained in his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. For from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things and draw away disciples after themselves." One of the responsibilities that Paul gave to these elders was to keep the flock safe from twisted things, from false doctrines, from things spoken that are not from God. And part of the responsibility of an elder in watching over a congregation, watching over the flock under the care of the eldership, is to weigh the words, weigh the things I've said, not let the enemy come in with twisted stuff, with false focuses, false doctrine, and maybe discouraging words. And that's why part of the responsibility for the guide rails falls upon the eldership. So a lot of technical stuff this morning, but we have had a lot of inspiration leading up to this. But I trust that if you are nervous about these things, that these guide rails will give you confidence. If you are confident about these things and you're really wanting to operate in them, you're ready, just understand that the guide rails are not a restraint. They are beautiful. They're God's beautiful principles just to keep everything safe. that we can learn together to step out, to grow in this beautiful gift. And it says in 1 Corinthians 14, which isn't, I don't think, in there, John, I don't think I put it in there, I might have. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up of the body. Now, I want to say within Solid Ground, we really want this to be an environment where the gifts can flourish. But we obviously want to keep the guardrails in place. So I want to encourage you to trust God to speak through you. And what we want to do is obviously in our corporate times, we want to hear those gifts. If you get something, please come and speak to me. We've got a microphone at the front here. And what we'll do is find a time in the service where that gift, where that word may be an encouragement. There might be times when it doesn't fit in that service, or it's not for that time, it's for later in the service, maybe it's for a later service. It's not a huge embarrassment if you come up and you say, I feel like the Lord is saying this, do you think it fits in? And the person leading the service, whichever elder it might be at the moment, I'm the only elder, but we're trusting God for other elders, says, oh yeah, that's awesome, that confirms what was said in the prayer meeting, we'll make a gap for it. If it's like, oh no, I don't think that's going to fit today, it's no embarrassment. We're all learning. And the beautiful thing is, the other thing is we've noticed quite often when you're in a congregation, if someone stands up behind the pulpit, everybody else sits down and goes into, we're listening to something said to us mode. When we are having words coming in the worship, we want to keep our attention on the worship. So I don't know if you'll notice, when we get a word, we don't come to the front, we just bring it from here, while everybody just stays focused on God, not so much on the person. So I just really want to encourage you guys, if you trust God for it, and if you hear a word, come, and I've very seldom ever had something where, oh no, no, that's not going to fit. The other beautiful thing is these days, there's all sorts of strange stuff going around and people can come into a congregation and they can start saying things, somebody that you don't know saying something really strange. You also have to protect the body from that. And that's why it's good. And the other thing about the microphone, if you've got like a quiet voice, everybody's able to hear. Some of us have got really strong voices, but I'd encourage also the habit of still using the microphone so that it's a pattern for everybody to use. Very, very practical. But we want this to be a safe place. We want it to be a place for workshopping where we can bring the words of the Lord. And then just as a final encouragement, Timothy talked about not quenching the Spirit, not despising prophecy. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 says this, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but power and love and self-control." Our responsibility is not to quench the gifts, not to quench the Holy Spirit, but to be in partnership with Him, that we fan that gift into flame, that we say, "Lord, help me. I want to pursue that. I want to hear you. I want to be encouraged. I'm willing to not be fearful, but to step up and try." And you know what? If I miss it, if Bruce misses it, if we all miss it, we're in that safe environment, and we understand. We prophesy in part, and we're learning together. Are you guys up for the adventure? If you've got any questions, you want to talk to me about it. Please feel free to chat to me. But we're going to just bow our heads in prayer and thank the Lord for today. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for today's sermon has been meat, Lord, rather than just a kind of salad. And Lord, it's been quite technical. But I just thank you, Lord. I know that Solid Ground is just a community who loves your word. And we want to teach the whole counsel of God. So, Lord, we've gone into Corinthians 14 today. And, Father, it's exciting and it's inspiring. And we want to be a people who recognize the guide rails you've given us, Lord. Recognize that they don't constrain us, but, Lord, they give us the freedom to operate in a safe place, a free place to learn with grace and understanding. So I pray, Lord, I pray for all of us, that you would stir up those gifts within us. And thank you, Lord, they're not just for within the church. As we learn to use them in the church, you can give us words of knowledge for people in the marketplace. You can give us prophetic encouragements for people, Lord God, wherever we come across them, and you want to give them your grace and your love, Lord. So teach us about these things, and help us, Lord, to become faithful stewards of these gifts, Lord. Help us not to be scared of them, but help us, Lord, to become familiar with their use and able to be used by you for the blessing of others. In Jesus' name. Let's spend a time worshiping.